Welcome in to the Late Night Gamecock Show, coming to you a day early. Just some scheduling conflicts, had to get it done. But we are here a day early, so if you're going to be looking for us on Wednesday night, look for us on YouTube. You'll get the whole video. You can fast forward through the parts where I sound like an idiot, which is probably often.
This is going to mess me up all week. I'm going to think tomorrow's Thursday all week. This is going to mess me up.
Well, we just had some scheduling stuff we had to work through. So I appreciate Alex for being accommodating, because Lord knows, Alex, it's tough on them streets right now on thebigspur.com.
Yeah, at least finally got a little bit of news last night to kind of calm the masses a little bit. But, you know, see how much more news here comes in these next few days and once the official stuff happens.
Oh, guys, Alex said a few more days. Everyone go find a bridge and jump off of it. Days.
Oh, God. Now that set is probably going to be blown up now.
We're so happy that all of y'all are here with us tonight. We're obviously going to talk a heck of a lot about offensive coordinator. If you've been living under a rock, everybody from Pete Thamel or Pete Thamel, I think it's Pete Thamel, to other national guys, Brad Crawford on CBS, the Big Spur, who has been all over this thing from the get-go, have said that Kendall Briles is most likely to be the offensive coordinator at South Carolina. We'll talk a lot about Kendall Briles here in a little bit. I do just want to say, Alex, that I think this early signing day, where traditionally most people that have been following this for years and years and years, they're used to it. What is it? The first Tuesday or first Wednesday in January.
Yeah.
The schedule, while you've had the early signing day and the late signing day for a couple of years now, with the transfer portal and everything, the schedule is different this year. So let's not forget that it's only been, 9 days since the Gamecock football season ended in 4-8 fashion to that team like we shall not name.
Yeah,
it really does. And I think a lot of times, Alex, that people live in I think we're a little off. Can you hear me all right, Alex?
No, you're good. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I think that sometimes in this digital age, people are clicking that F5 button and refreshing like, you know, there's telekinesis or there's, you know, telecommunicative things that are happening between coaching staffs. But we had to get through National Signing Day. We said that on our show last week. We said on Rooster Rant, you had National Signing Day, not only for the Gamecocks, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later, but you also had National Signing Day with all these offensive coordinators and potential coaches that Shane Beamer has been probably in communication with. So we had to let the dust settle a little bit. National Signing Day, I think, officially ended on Thursday or Friday. And we're only in Tuesday right now this week. And news started kind of rolling out Sunday night. And now we're just kind of waiting. But on tonight's show, we're going to talk about Kendall Briles, number one. We're going to talk about potentially offensive line, running back, new coaches. We will talk about, Alex, Landon Duckworth, he signed with the Gamecocks. And then you also had a flip of Julian Walker. We'll talk about that. And then, look, we only have so many more shows before we take a holiday break. So we got to start talking about the portal and not necessarily who's going in. You'll find that out in due time. Alex and I don't know who's going in or who's not going in right now, but we'll talk about the players that we feel like the Gamecocks probably want to keep. And then we'd like to get your thoughts as well. So everybody, I know it's not a Rooster Rant. This is a late night Gamecock show, but get your comments pumping in here. Alex and I will try to answer every single thing we can. And with that, let's get on to the late night Gamecock show.
Gonna turn on the late night show. Hear what's going down in Cooltown. I said I'm turning on late night show. Yeah, my cocks will let me down.
Thank you. Yeah, so we'll talk a lot about Kendall Briles and all the news that's coming out right now in Gamecock land. And as always, stay plugged into thebigspur.com. That's where you'll find Alex Jones. You'll find J.C. Sherbert, John Whittle, Hale McGranahan, the entire gang. And they're busting at the seams with content. They're bringing it to you just as fast as they possibly can. I want to give a big shout out to EXO here. EXO, glad you found us on this Tuesday night. That tells me EXO has his notifications turned on. So appreciate that. Look, if you want to subscribe, you want to give us 5 stars, we always appreciate it. So I'm happy to see EXO in. He's a regular. Justin, an SC Scout guy. We'll get to everything that you guys are talking about here in a minute. But Alex, I want to start off with kind of catching up from last week. Landon Duckworth, there was a lot of drama, but ultimately he did sign with the Gamecocks. I want to get your thoughts first.
Yeah, it ended up being some good news. Really, one of the good pieces of news South Carolina got on signing day was South Carolina kind of fended off Lane Kiffin and LSU late there. The Tigers made a little bit of push there towards the end to try to get Landon Duckworth, but I think he obviously was pretty locked in to start with, and South Carolina just solidified that. And I think multiple good recruiting wins for this one and for Landon Duckworth, because you had to battle off Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, you had to battle off Auburn and Hugh Freeze and State. Auburn and Hugh Freeze there in the summer. But, a really good pickup for a quarterback room that, is going to need just continue to build in those numbers. And a guy that, I think, has a lot of potential. I think, with, having a few years under his belt in college could be a really, really good player.
And one of the big things I thought was key with Landon Duckworth, when you finally got some comments from him after he officially signed and submitted his national letter of intent, is he will never regret signing with the Gamecocks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a testament to the fans out there. Look, we all know, I can tell you back in the day before all this NIL stuff, changing gears, NIL was legal. Gamecock fans do take care of their own. I had a lot of friends that played football back before all this stuff was legal. And let's just say that their refrigerator was stocked up every Tuesday. They had gas cards so they could go get gas in their cars. And name, image, and likeness hasn't changed that. And, when you can get a developmental quarterback, let's be honest, nobody wants Landon Duckworth to start at LSU next year or at South Carolina. You want that kid to develop a little bit, but he has all the intangibles. So to be able to hold on to him without an offensive coordinator, Alex, I thought was very, very impressive to turn down Lane Kiffin. And who knows what the numbers were. I don't know if NIL was better at South Carolina or at LSU. I don't think at the end it really mattered. Excuse me, golly.
Yeah.
And I had Mexican for dinner, y'all, and like this hot sauce is coming up.
And Landon Duckworth actually had a tweet just a little while ago, maybe early this afternoon, just about how, Kendall Briles was his first offer and basically saying how excited he was to get to work with Kendall Briles. So that was a good sign, too.
Yeah. So kudos to Shane Beamer. Kudos to the Gamecock football staff. Kudos to Darren Usher. He worked this one extremely hard to get Landon Duckworth across the finish line. And as Alex and I mentioned on our show right before National Signing Day, we talked about some kids that were committed to other schools. I think we rattled off 4 or 5 of them, Alex. Mm-hmm. Of those kids, all of them signed with the school that they were originally committed to outside of Carson Baker. Carson, a lot of things happened towards the end with Carson Baker and ended up going to Texas A&M really out of the blue. I did think the Gamecocks had a good chance with him after he left Columbia on Sunday. But sometimes, NIL, we've talked about it, it does matter. And you have to be daggum sure with a running back when you're going to throw out some numbers to that position. But Julian Walker was a kid that I thought the Gamecocks had a good chance to flip. He was actually the one that I said I felt really good about the Gamecocks flipping. And that was just a gut thing, Alex. It wasn't like I had knowledge a week in advance that, hey, Julian Walker's flipping to South Carolina the day after National Signing Day. Get ready. Sometimes I hear those things. I did not hear that about Julian Walker. But I think at the end of the day, proximity to home won out. I think that having a position coach in Sterling Lucas, who's kind of become a secondary father to him, and then also Dylan Stewart and playing with him. And if you read Hale McGranahan's article on thebigspur.com, Julian Walker explicitly said that Dylan Stewart was a big reason. So we'll see where all the chips fall there. But just a position of need, Alex, a big kid, a projectable kid, and just what a great get to get up to 10 4-stars on National Signing Day.
Yeah, you know, really, you know, probably one of the biggest flips on signing day overall from teams around the country. And, you know, it's one that Southcom had been battling even when he committed to Michigan in the summer. Southcom continued to stay in the battle. He knew they would just with the family connections. But then also, you know, we've seen what Sterling Lucas can do on the recruiting trail so far in his time with a Dylan Stewart or a Nick Harbor who he's involved with, Desmond Umuzulu. Like, just, you know, Sterling Lucas has been awesome as a recruiter. And, you know, they stayed on Julian Walker and ended up winning out at the end. And, you know, he's going to be, you know, I'm interested to see. I think he can give them a little bit of something from a role standpoint next year. Watched him Saturday night in the state championship game to South Carolina State when Dutch Fork played Somerville. And, I mean, he was productive all over the field. I think he ended up with 3.5 sacks. I think he had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. Guy that stands at 6 foot, we have him listed at 6'5", 252 pounds, and he looks every bit of it. Yeah, I think you have to imagine with having a dad that's on the strength and conditioning staff at South Carolina and kind of in that world, like he's going to have a good idea of what's going to be needed to get on the field early from a strength and conditioning standpoint, which is only going to help him because I think he's got a chance next year.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, Alex. And one of the things that was told to me about Julian Walker back in the summer, obviously his dad is on the strength and conditioning staff at South Carolina, played a big role in coaching on the sidelines this year as well. But it was just a kid that was built physically exactly like you draw him up, a quiet kid. A kid that wasn't looking for the spotlight, wasn't going to every camp on the circuit trying to get stars beside his name. And I think South Carolina was kind of hoping that he would stay quiet a little bit longer than he did, quite frankly. I think they would have been just fine taking him as a no star, a two star, a three star.
Yeah, because he really kind of didn't, I think maybe late spring or so, because he didn't have a recruiting profile. It wasn't one that, you know, obviously, you know, recruits these days post offers or whenever they get him in highlights, huddles, things like that. He was really under the radar until kind of found him, until he kind of emerged on the radar and really kind of late junior year into the spring was really when he started to get on that radar and blew up from there as a top 100 prospect in the country. And kind of interested to see how that continues to rise here going into these final rankings updates.
Yeah, don't forget that. There are going to be some more rankings updates there. hey, good to see you, Steven. I see you here in the chat box. Yeah, man, like my kryptonite is Mexican food, and my kryptonite is the spiciest salsa they will give you. And trying to drink water right now to help with it. But better out than in. You're exactly right. I think that, you know, that recruiting class, and I think some people, XO mentioned in here, speaks to the program, speaks to Shane Beamer. I don't think anyone can doubt his recruiting chops. You know, going in, I think this is now his fourth or fifth recruiting class with the Gamecocks, like probably what his fourth full recruiting class. And it keeps getting better and better from a player standpoint. When you look at, you know, what their individual rankings are, I go back to what 3 years ago, Josiah Thompson's class, and it was another class that was right up there in the top 10. And so is this. So is this one. And look, I do think the South Carolina is probably going to continue to take some smaller classes. I don't think it's going to be a situation where they're trying to go sign, what was it, 39 that North Carolina signed?
This wasn't a class that it was going to be a big class, even from, you know, when they were starting to build this class early on. I think you knew that, you know, had South kind of overall is kind of a young team, and then it kind of became, you know, apparent, like, you know, portal, we need some portal spots too. So I think, you know, it wasn't just a, you know, decision where it came late that they were going to take kind of a smaller class. They kind of been in that 20-ish range for a little while.
Yeah, I agree. And we'll move on after this. But SC Scout guy, no, Don Jose was closed tonight. We were going to go to Don Jose. but they were having their Christmas party tonight. One of my family members went out there and saw the sign. So we had to go to Tacos and Tequila over by the Swamp Fox, which great Mexican, great Mexican. But the hot sauce, a little hotter when you ask for the extra spicy one. But, Alex, I think it's time to flip over to Kendall Briles. Kendall Briles is known as a guy that can flip an offense in one offseason. And he's done that pretty much everywhere he's been, which is exactly what South Carolina needs. And he's done it with different types of quarterbacks as well. One of the things with Kendall Briles is he's done it as a top 10 rushing team in the country. He's done it as a top, I don't want to say top 10. I don't want to quote myself and be wrong, but he's had very high level passing attacks too. What I like about Kendall Briles is his dad was a high school coach for forever. And in high school, you have to adapt to your talent level. And what they did at Baylor, scandal, allegations, all of that, not denying any of it. Kendall Briles has been able to be a offensive coordinator now. This is his fifth stop since Baylor. And, you know, Donati, who was athletic director, excuse me, at Texas Christian, I don't know if he actually hired him, but he was really close to Briles and knows what he's about. So, Alex, you know, just off the cuff, if it is Kendall Briles, which we fully anticipate, thoughts?
Yeah, I think it was a hire that, you know, when that name kind of first came around, you thought it would be a, you know, I think just from what we talked about, just kind of a top of the board name for South Carolina. And there's some things you look at, a guy that's, you know, a college type of offense. I know, I think we kind of throw that phrase out there a lot, but more of a college type of offense compared to what South Carolina's had recently. And, you know, I think some things that stand out about it are when you kind of look at some things from each year where he's been every stop, his offense really adapts to personnel, it adapts to what the team is best at. And you saw that in his time at Arkansas when you had KJ Jefferson and Rocket Sanders. Like, that's the two players you want to run the ball with, and Arkansas did that. Rocket Sanders, you know, that 2 years before he came to South Carolina, had that All-American type of season. And but you've also seen it where, you know, in some of his offenses, whether it be at Florida Atlantic under Lane Kiffin or wherever, Arkansas, wherever it may be, like, you know, they can also do some, a lot of good things in the passing game too. You've seen that at TCU. So I think it's just an offense that, from an up-tempo standpoint, it's going to help some quarterbacks get into rhythms and then, you know, not let defensive subs and things like that. But I think the biggest thing you'd like to see from what, you know, kind of look at some stats of what he does, like, it just, his offense always does what's the best for the personnel. And I think that's something that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, and he's a guy that does a lot of pre-snap motion. That's something that's huge in the college game. Oftentimes in the NFL, you don't need that. The quarterback can read the defense and kind of know from film what's going to happen. But with him being a college guy, and look, Lenore Sellers probably could have benefited a lot from pre-snap motion this year, because when you have a guy that can run like Lenore can, all of a sudden you see a linebacker clear out to the left side and you see man-on-man coverage. And maybe you can, you know, look that way, see if a guy's open, and if not, you know, take off and run, which is something that we know Lenore Sellers can do. We'll talk about Lenore's and all that here in a little bit. Shout out to Russell Wells. Thank you. Appreciate you. And Justin, you're right on it. He'll take 30-plus points per game offensively. Clayton, his defense deserve complimentary offensive play. Amen. Let me scream that from the rafters. I think that Clayton White has been a fantastic defensive coordinator. And look, he's paid accordingly. It's probably why it's not going to Coastal Carolina, like was mentioned a couple weeks ago when they made their coaching change and Chance said, hey, you know, let's see if we can get Clayton White. Yeah. Now, I don't think you ever go to a Coastal if you're a coordinator that has a job. We'll see what happens with Garrett Riley and Clemson. He seems to be the front runner. But look, this is exactly the offensive coordinator hire that South Carolina needs. And there was conversation about John David Parker, I think is his name. He's not going to be the offensive Baker. He's going to be the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss. I think he would have been just fine. You saw conversations about Decker at Old Dominion. I think he would have been just fine. You saw conversations about Beck out at Utah. Probably would have been just fine. But to quote Brad, God, why am I blanking on Brad's name?
Crawford.
Yeah, Brad. God, Brad, don't get mad at me about that. I had Brad Scott in my head. I was like, not that guy. But Brad Crawford kind of brought up where this is a guy that has done it at the Power Four level. He's done it in the SEC. Texas Christian is probably one of those teams in college football that's like Villanova in college basketball, where they might not be in the SEC, Big Ten, whatever, especially under Jay Wright. But they're a team that is very, very competitive. And look, if you can get 30-plus points a game, Alex, if you can get 25 points a game, if you can adjust throughout the game, all of those are going to be welcome additions to South Carolina.
I mean, if South Carolina had the 25 or so, or even a little bit more points per game, I mean, that's a few more wins this season, just because what you're talking about when you're talking about Clayton White defensively. There are multiple times this season where defensively South Carolina's defense gave the team a chance, at least a chance to stay in the game and have a chance to win the game. Just offensively, they just could never get over the hump.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Lenore Sellers obviously would be awesome in this offense. You know, I think a Jerron Howell would be awesome in this offense, a guy that has the body to, you know, go run the ball maybe 15 to 20 times a game, get 15 to 20 touches, but Matthew Fuller as well. South Carolina didn't have a player problem necessarily this year. Now, Now, maybe the offensive line didn't play up to their capabilities. Maybe the offensive line wasn't coached through seven games of this season and through the – people forget, Alex, it's not just the seven games of the season. It's spring practice. It's fall practice. And the Gamecocks are going to have a great opportunity to improve there. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, when you look at Kendall Briles and his offense, this goes back to what I was talking about earlier from a, you know, kind of adapting to the personnel. Like, Lenore Sellers and KJ Jefferson are two different quarterbacks. You know, they, but, you know, because KJ Jefferson was more of the just kind of that get downhill running and run somebody, or which Lenore can do. But Lenore is a little bit more quick and agile and twitchy and things like that. But what you can see is just some schematic things. Like, they did some things that that kind of tailored to KJ Jefferson in the run game, which, again, goes to what we're talking about with Lenore Sellers, where you think, if things, you know, go well from an offensive standpoint, they can kind of tailor the offense to him, which is something that I think can get South Carolina fans excited for what the potential offense could be.
I think so, too. I mean, moving along to offensive line, running back, tight ends, wide receiver, I haven't heard anything to say that Mike Furry will not be back at South Carolina next year. I do think that he's the kind of wide receivers coach you want. And who knows how long he'll be at South Carolina, too. I think he's a future head coach. I really do, and I don't think he's the kind of coach that needs to have a coordinator by his name to be a head coach, quite frankly. He's already done it, right? He's done it at Limestone. Then you look at offensive line. I think it's more and more likely that Sean Elliott will not be the offensive line coach next year. You do see what's the guy's name?
Randy Clements.
I want to say Sam Clements, but, yeah, Randy Clements. He's been with the Briles family for a very, very long time. I mean, going back to the high school. And if you have a guy with a new offense coming in and Kendall Briles, I have no problem with Clements being the offensive line coach. Like, none at all. Because let's just say South Carolina is able to, and I don't know if they should, Alex, but if they maintain a lot of the offensive linemen from last year, maybe a new voice and a new scheme helps. I do think there will be some transition on the offensive line, but
I was just saying that, you know, I think, you know, a new voice in that room just kind of overall can help, just because we've seen how South Carolina was recruited at that position and kind of how they recruited and who some of these guys that they're bringing into, and kind of interested to see what the transfer portal looks like from that standpoint, because you heard Shane Beamer talk about in his last press conference that, you know, when asked what the priorities kind of transfer portal wise are, he's at O-line, D-line, things like that. So I think it's going to be a heavy emphasis in the transfer portal. But I do agree that a new voice in that room should be able to help. And but also think, you know, Sean Elliott, I think for, you know, coming in for a midseason, I think he got those guys playing a little bit better as the season went on.
Absolutely. I mean, Sean Elliott's been doing offensive line for a very, very long time, and he had the voice of a head coach in that room when he was at South Carolina before. There's a reason that Sean Elliott was the interim head coach when Steve Spurrier hung up his visor. So I don't think there'd be any issue at all with Sean Elliott. I think he can adapt and he can figure out whatever Kendall Briles wants to do. But if I have the option, I do think someone that knows this system inside and out is going to help tremendously. Now, Randy Clements has had some help stuff happen lately. It's one of the reasons why he hasn't been an on-field coach over the last couple of years. But he is still an offensive line coach, and he is a position coach. He's not an analyst. That's just an added bonus, y'all, if he's an analyst anywhere across the country. So I think that when you have a Shane Beamer as head coach that can really rev up that recruiting engine, you can be a little bit more selective in your offensive line coach. And look, Sean Elliott, if you go back to game one of the season, the tight ends looked pretty daggum good. I thought the tight ends looked pretty daggum good last year, too. So he can coach them up. And if you go back and read, Alex, I think you had some great quotes from Sean Elliott last year in the preseason when he talked about his tight end room. Sean Elliott's a heck of a tight ends coach. And with a system like Briles, which might lean on tight ends a little bit more to block, well, who the heck would you rather have than Sean Elliott, quite frankly? So we'll see what happens there. I don't think anything is finalized, but I would be pretty shocked at this point if Briles is the offensive coordinator, if Clements doesn't come with him. And then running backs coach, I think everyone for a long time has wanted Jimmy Smith from Darlington, right down the road from me, to find his way back to South Carolina. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, or if it's going to be Stan Drayton. I don't think you can go wrong with either of them if that's the final two. But Stan Drayton's coached at pretty much name a blue blood. He's been there. He's been a head coach at Temple.
And he's recruited pretty much everywhere. He's been recruiting really well everywhere he's been. Some of the names that, I mean, he's recruited. I mean, Bijan Robinson, that's a name he's recruited. Ezekiel Elliott recruited him at Ohio State. They got guys recruited really well.
Yeah, and, you know, there's always that question of, is he the running backs coach at an elite program that churns out running backs, or is he that elite recruiter? I think time will tell. I think that Jimmy Smith has connections throughout the country as well. He's a pretty good recruiter, but he certainly doesn't have the resume that we've seen from Stan Drayton. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like I really do think that not having someone with head coaching experience, like major head coaching experience, and I'm not saying Temple is a major program. It's no different than Sean Elliott being at Georgia State. But to have more head coaches in the office is a good thing. Kendall Browse might as well have been the de facto head coach at Baylor when his dad was there. I mean, I'm sure he was in every single meeting. And then you also have Sean Elliott's been a head coach, and now potentially Stan Drayton. That's a lot of folks that in a make or break year for Shane Beamer, it's nice to have.
Yeah, for sure. And guys that you kind of know what they can bring from a recruiting standpoint too. And I keep going back to that, but you know, I think, you know, just, you know, and I mentioned just from a running back room standpoint, because transfer portal, that's going to be a spot that's going to, you wonder what's going to look like too, just because, you know, you're going to have three guys in Augustov, Howell, and Fuller right there, but you're going to need to bring in some guys there from a running back standpoint, just from a numbers standpoint there. So really interested to see from a portal standpoint how every kind of room offensively is affected, but especially at running back and O-line.
Yeah, and I see some comments in here about bringing Michael Smith back. We'll just see. I'd probably say it's less than 50% chance. He's been in the transfer portal for a while. He's probably had overtures for a long time. And nothing against Michael Smith. I thought he did a fantastic job in the strength and conditioning program during the offseason. I mean, he looked like a man among boys, but at the same time, he got hurt. And look, he didn't practice the way that they expect people to practice. So when you bring somebody back in who has that history with the coaching staff, you know, who knows? You know, but yeah, what Caroline Titan says, think Elliott will stay. I'm all for that. Sean Elliott loves South Carolina. He bleeds South Carolina. His family has been living in Columbia since 2010, I think. So got 15 years with his family here, and he's from Camden, South Carolina. So if he wants to stay and everything works out, that'd be great. Mike Furry, I think he should stay. And then look, you know, knock on wood, Alex, but it looks like as of right now, defensive coaching staff's going to stay intact. And that's really big because as what we talked about before, there's some really good players on the defense, and there's some really good underclassmen on the defense, and there's some pretty good recruits on the defense. Yeah. And all they do is just churn out really good defenses. And I said I wanted to do a study based on something put on the someone posted on the Big Spur about how many points the offense had scored in third quarter, fourth quarter, all that kind of stuff. And you know, I wanted to say, well, how much is the defense given up? And because sometimes if you have 4 3 and outs that take a combined 8 minutes off the clock, and the defense only gives up 14 points, that's pretty damn good. So, complimentary football, Alex. That's what it's all about.
That's all you can ask for right there.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get a quick sponsor break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about who the Gamecocks should retain on this roster.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
Might as well give me one of those Carolina cards while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
J.C. Sherbert here. Had a brilliant idea that some good friends of mine in Florence have told me about. Next time you're having a wedding or an event or anytime you got to feed a bunch of people, Talk to my friends over at Flavortown Eats and Events. That's right. It's a food truck slash trailer. Prepares the food fresh on site right there for you. No hassle. It's absolutely delicious. They'll come out, turnkey solution to feed the masses at your event. Go to their website right now. FlavortownFlow.com. That's FlavortownFlow.com. They have all the contact information you need, and they are a proud sponsor of the Late Night Gamecock Show and the Chiefs Sports Network.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Go Gamecocks!
This is the Late Night Gamecock Show with the pride of Hampton County, Alex Jones. And with the king of late night, Matt Anderson. Go Gamecocks!
Welcome back into the Late Night Gamecock Show. My name is Matt Anderson, and Alex Jones of thebigspur.com is always so gracious to join me. Usually on a Wednesday night, tonight on a Tuesday night, but now is the perfect time to also let everybody know that get ready for Sunday night. It's just something that we've made the decision that going into the new year, we're going to have this show on Sunday nights. It's still going to be at 8 o'clock. So no issues there. We want to be able to talk about the entire baseball series. We want to talk about the week that was in basketball. So just a heads up, you don't have to worry about it for next week. Next week's still Wednesday, but coming in January, Alex and I will be on Sunday nights. And I think that'll be great because kind of like Rooster Rant, we'll be able to talk about baseball and basketball. And then everything that happens during the week when we get to the summer. So, Alex, hope you're okay with that.
Yeah, I think it gives us, you know, especially during a time where football news, like, you know, obviously not having a game to kind of recap on Saturday, especially with basketball, you know, I think they'll be getting into SEC play, and that'll kind of give us a kind of an hour or so on a Sunday night to go back through the whole week of what happened in Gamecock land.
Yeah, and plus when you get, like, basketball season, thankfully there weren't that many Wednesdays up here on the schedule. Sorry, SD Scout. Yeah, you're right. 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock on Sundays, not 8 o'clock. We're not going to mess with SEC Sunday night. 7 o'clock. Not six. 7 minute abs. But 7 o'clock, we will be on Sunday nights. Yeah, I think it's going to be better, Alex, because there weren't a whole lot of basketball games that were going to be on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but you have to cover those. And we will really, really enjoy that. And then we'll let you run right into SEC Sunday night at 8 o'clock. So you'll have 2 hours after you put the kids down. Whatever you want to do after you've done all your hubby do list and your mommy do list, and we'll be here for you. Edward Thompson, I see you here in the chat box, just getting on any news on O-line coach. Look, we think it's probably going to be Clements. We can't put anything in stone yet, but probably Randy Clements. And I'm looking here, Russell said, it's still wild to think the Gamecocks led the SEC in turnovers and only won 4 games. Yeah. W-O-N-1. Yeah, it's something that South Carolina has done for a long time under Clayton White, and it was something that Shane Beamer said in the offseason, Alex. I think you actually had the quote where Shane Beamer said, look, we're forcing the other team to turn the ball over. We can't turn the ball over, and, you know, the Gamecocks really didn't this year, probably because they weren't on the field that much on offense in some cases. But
I mean, defensively this year, they've been so good, or under Clayton White have – consistently been good in leading, really, I mean, if not leading towards the top of the SEC and forcing turnovers. And I mean, it's something that you wonder if it, it, you know, kind of early on under Shane Beamer, that's going to be a 1 year type of thing. But no, I mean, it's been an every year under Clay Dwight type of thing. And that's what their defense have kind of lived on.
Yeah. And look, one of the things that I said in the preseason, Alex and I always do our bold predictions, and we actually do try and get bold with them. We don't try and just make them, you know, super vanilla. But I do think, you know, going back to Kendall Briles, and if Lenore Sellers stays, and he'll transition perfectly into our next segment here, Alex. But I thought Lenore Sellers had every opportunity to be a 25 touchdown, passing touchdown, a 10 rushing touchdown, and less than 5 interception guy. And a lot of that was because of what Shane was preaching, you know, take care of the football. And, you know, despite Lenore Sellers against Ole Miss having 2 interceptions that were kind of just fling it up, almost punts, I do think that, you know, the team did take care of the ball offensively, and Lenore Sellers did too. But Kendall Briles is that guy that runs a college system, and I really truly believe that Lenore Sellers should be that game breaker type of college quarterback. I'm not saying win the Heisman. I'm not saying first team all SEC, but every single game he should be, you know, the very first player that every single coaching staff scouts and tries to minimize.
Yeah, and I think some things you could potentially see under Kendall Briles is more spreading the field out type of thing, which could help a Lenore Sellers, just because it felt like, I feel like every Sunday we were getting on here talking about how there are too many people in the box, and South Carolina was kind of condensing things, condensing the field when they didn't have to. And I feel like when you look at some stuff with Kendall Briles, like, it's really kind of spreads the field out and makes teams have to tackle in open space, which we've seen South Carolina have some guys where they really have some guys that they can break tackles in open space and have some speed on perimeter.
Yeah, I agree. So I look, I'm going to start this conversation with Lenore Sellers. I don't know what he's going to do. I can just promise you this, that if you're one of those people that hates Lenore Sellers because of this season, blames him for a lot of things, and say he got paid too much money, whatever, I can promise you there are very likely teams that are on the Gamecock schedule next year that are willing to pay Lenore Sellers more than he got paid this year. So who knows what's going to happen there. I think that it's probably more likely than not Lenore's plays college football next year. A couple of weeks ago, I said it was more likely he played at South Carolina or the NFL. I think that right now it's probably going to be college. And I do think it's probably going to be South Carolina, but just understand if you want any player of Lenore Sellers' caliber and his open market price, you're going to have to pay for it, whether it's Lenore Sellers or it's somebody else. And you better, you know, what's that old saying? A bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush. Mm-hmm. I want to start thinking about that. And I do think that the Gamecocks will be competitive enough. I think Lenore wants to look at a couple things, nothing different that's been reported on the Big Spur. He obviously wanted to see who the offensive coordinator is going to be, want to see offensive line, wide receivers, all of that. But Steve Tannehill said it best. The best decision that Lenore Sellers can make is to play college football next year, because he's probably going to get a salary that's more than a rookie contract if he went to the NFL. So we'll start with that, Alex. I think you're in agreement. If you're a Gamecock fan, you want to see Lenore Sellers come back to South Carolina?
Yeah, 100% agreement, sir. I just think he's a guy that you saw what his potential was in 2024 and what he could do, and just finding ways to get him more back comfortable and things like that is going to be key to get him back to – even close to where he was for that 2024 season.
Yeah, and I see Ryan here in the chat box. Ryan, I don't disagree with you. There were definitely better quarterbacks that South Carolina saw this year. But the question is, can you get them? And I go back to a bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush. But, Alex, I'm just going to go through here. I'm just going to go position group by position group. I'm not going to go into depth chart or anything like that. Yep. Luke Doty, I'm just going to mention guys that everyone knows. Luke Doty, he's done. He's been in college. I mean, he probably has a doctorate degree at this point, and good on him. Luke Doty is going to be very, very successful in anything he wants to do in life. But he's gone. DQ Smith is gone at safety. Miles Norwood is gone as a defensive back. Then you have Akari Swain, Kendall Daniels, Judge Collier, David Busey, Brandon Cisse, probably gone to the NFL, I would think, just where he's being drafted or mock drafted. Jalewis Solomon, Jaquel Holman, DeMarcus Leach, Kelvin Hunter, Gerald Kilgore, Jalon Kilgore, Sabari Sandy, Peyton Williams. I mean, I'm looking there, Chris Hatfield, Cedric Cisse, who won the Scout Team Player of the Year Award. You look through that, Alex, I think you want to keep every single one of them you can, and some of them might go to the NFL.
Yeah, you know, I think so. Two guys that have NFL decisions are Brandon Cisse and Jalen Kilgore, guys that can come back. Those guys have NFL decisions, but you got, you know, South Carolina, you know, we talk about offensive line recruiting, how South Carolina's done that. They've also done really well in the secondary with Torian Gray. I mean, you know, Judge Carr, you've seen him go from an under, kind of under the radar recruit to what he is now as a starting quarterback and the cornerback in the SEC. But then you got some of those other guys, like, you know, some of these freshmen this year, DeMarcus Leach and Kendall Daniels. You know, they're kind of thrown in there sometimes in big moments. Kendall Daniels had a little bit of a third down package they put him in later this season. DeMarcus Leach got in there in that first game. So now they just, you know, there's a lot of guys there that you want to keep around just from a potential standpoint of what they could be.
Yeah, and you have a Vakari Swain as well. I think that he could be the guy that he's a redshirt sophomore. I mean, he could go pro, but he's a guy that I think you want to see stick around, not only as a punt returner, but he could be that guy that takes that next leap. And
he at corner took another step this year, but feels like a guy that could be that next South Carolina cornerback that you're seeing going and playing really well in the NFL too. Like, he shows that, it shows improvement every year. Now you're seeing that come along with the special team stuff that he was able to do this year.
Yeah, he's a guy that I could honestly see winning some awards next season as top DB in the country, top punt returner in the country. I will never forget what somebody told me, and it was before I think it was publicized, but Vakari Swain, I think he was around a 3-star when he committed to South Carolina, eventually made his way to 4-star, and the Gamecocks really had to hold off Deion Sanders in Colorado in that recruitment. And if there's somebody that knows what a big-time DB looks like, it's Deion Sanders. Now, whether he's a great head coach, I don't know. But, I mean, dude, even Jaquel Holman, you mentioned DeMarcus Leach, Kelvin Hunter. Like, these are all really good players that have high potential. And Kelvin Hunter is a kid that can be like a DJ Swearinger. Like, he might take your head off.
Jalewa Solomon, another one.
Who?
Yeah. Jalewa Solomon, yeah.
Hey, look, Jalewa Solomon, you know, he's had some really good players ahead of him. But I know for a fact that there are coaches on the Gamecock staff, I'm not going to say who, but just to protect them and protect the kid, but thought that he would be 3 and done, like when he signed. Like, 3 and done, he's going pro. So sometimes you just have better players ahead of you. But then you got Monkel Goodwine on defensive line, Alex. He's gone. Javonte Miles can come back. Nick Barrett's gone. Xavion Hardy is already in the transfer portal. Christian Ingram is on the roster. He was a big get towards the end of last year. Gabriel Brownlow Dindy, I don't think he's going pro, but you want to keep that kid. And that's the kid that Travian and, you know, the defensive line coaches did an amazing job with. Troy Pikes, he was all over the Clemson game. I think the announcer said his name like 18 times.
Yeah.
You got Caleb Williams, defensive tackle again. Jatius Gear, he's gone. Jaquavius Dodd, y'all, I'm just going to tell y'all, like, they had high hopes for this kid. So, Brian Thomas Jr., he's gone. Dylan Stewart, pray to sweet baby Jesus, pray to Buddha, pray to anybody that you pray to, because if that kid comes back to South Carolina, it means he wants to be here. And as far as I know, he does want to be here. Yeah. But, and actually on that note, you know, we didn't mention this off the cuff, Alex, but, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. became a All-SEC second team player that they voted on today. And there's obviously a Dylan Stewart effect on the defensive line with Kyle Kinnard getting the National Defensive Player of the Year, getting, you know, double-digit sacks, Brian Thomas getting 8. So I'm going to miss him, but then go ahead.
That's going to be something that you can sell in the transfer portal too. That's, as you mentioned, 2 straight years where guys have had, you know, career high in stats and gone and done big things, where that's something you can sell to a veteran in the transfer portal. Like, look what happened to these two guys when they're playing on the other side of Dylan Stewart.
Yeah, then you got Desmond, Yuma Zulalilu. I'll say it like that. He's a kid that just had he might just take time, and he was a highly rated recruit. He's done some good things for the Gamecocks. You hope you get George Wilson back. Anthony Addison on the defensive line, Alex. I mean, you know everything I know there. Like, I talked to multiple people that raved about that kid.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think could use this redshirt year to kind of just continue to get bigger and stronger in the weight room, things like that. But, I mean, just a guy that – you know, we talk about Brian Thomas and his motor constantly with how he plays. There's a lot of that with Anthony Addison. He just plays hard and finds a way to be, disruptive. And I can't remember. Shane Beamer mentioned it either early in the season or in the spring. I can't remember which one of the two it was, but talking about how disruptive Anthony Addison was at times during practices. So I think you're going to, you know, had some guys again this year ahead of him, but see kind of where he is on the depth chart moving forward, because I think he is a guy that can give them something.
Yeah, then you have Kobe Sakai-Prah, and he's a guy that I think the coaching staff has have big plans for eventually. He's just another kid that needs to get bigger and stronger. Jaylen Brown, I think he'll be back next year. I think that everything health-wise is going to be okay with him. Not going to get into why, but he just needed a year. And he might be that guy that has a big sack number next year across from Dylan Stewart, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, you had three guys in that edge room this year who were dealing with injuries, and George Wilson, Kobe Sakai-Prah, Jaylen Brown. And, you know, I think, you know, those three guys, you know, come back, and, you know, Jaylen Brown was, you know, the kind of that heralded transfer portal recruit guy that, you know, came in pretty highly ranked coming in from Missouri, but really looking forward to see what he can give there, because I think those three guys are guys that, at the very least, going to provide a really quality depth for South Carolina in that edge room.
Yeah, I mean, looking through here, at linebacker, Jerron Willis has already announced he's going to the transfer portal. But if you can keep Justin O, you can keep Sean Murphy has another year, Fred Johnson, J.R. Johnson has another year. I think that you're just one more year of reps, one more year of being in the system is going to help those guys. Donovan Darden at linebacker, you and I both know that everyone loves him. Tayshawn Austin is another kid, A.J. Holloway. I mean, I can go through this. I mean, I'm going to move on to the offensive line. Now, the offensive line is just where I don't know. I really don't. I think that you want to keep a handful of them, but you might want to go find like 7-8 more guys.
Yeah, it's also just going to depend on an attrition standpoint too. What does that look like? Obviously, are you seeing Nick Sharp announce his plans there in the transfer portal? But, you know, what's the numbers going to look like there just from a nutrition standpoint? And then that's going to kind of determine what they're going to bring in from their portal as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at those names, I think Damala from Georgia Tech, he was a Brent Key offensive lineman that flipped the Gamecocks on National Signing Day. High hopes for him. You look through here, keep going through. Blake Franks, I think he still has a good floor for South Carolina. Shed Surratt is going to be really good. You want to keep Josiah Thompson. I mean, Cason Henry feels like he's been here since I was in college. But if he can stay healthy, you know, he's going to be a pretty good player. I think Trovon, I think you want to keep him. Maybe he's never going to be the NFL guy that we thought he might be, but depth. Then quarterback, I don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Noland, 50-50, whether he's going to come back or not. Cutter Woods, I think, is pretty locked in. Then, you know, running back, you only got three. And I think that people are forgetting Isaiah Gustav, who redshirted this year and came in very, very late. He's a kid that I think that people are really, really sleeping on.
Yeah, let's go to quarterback real quick. Like, I think if you didn't get Landon Duckworth, that's where things are going to be an issue from a numbers standpoint. You know, maybe you still try to go find a portal quarterback just to add more depth into that room. But getting Landon Duckworth did help a little bit in that regard. And then running back wise, like, you know, I think you go and see what you can find from the number one running back standpoint in the portal. Like, I think there's a lot of spots you can go and try to find a starter. And, you know, I'm interested to see how running back turns out, because you at least need one in that room, just because high school wise, you haven't assigned a high school back in two cycles, and you need to get those numbers right.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Air, like, I know a lot of people, like, let's just say he transfers. I don't know. He might want to stick it out. I mean, he said he came to South Carolina to want to learn. Now, you know, the offensive coordinator he signed up to learn from isn't here anymore, right? And, I mean, that it's kind of close to, like, two of them, because I know he was pretty okay with Dowell Loggins as well. But just, y'all, like, I just want this narrative to stop. Gamecocks did not break the bank in NIL to get Aaron Noland. And it wasn't because that they went cheap. He was a kid that was former top 100 kid, had a relationship with Darren Usher. I think he still has a chance to be a really good quarterback. I just don't know if it's going to work out at South Carolina. When you look at the running back, you know, you got Howell, Gustav, and then you have Matt Fuller. That's a solid three, but you need at least two more. And you didn't sign one of the class, to Alex's point. Tight end, Mike Tyler. Mo Brown has another year. I think that Mo Brown could take another leap. Brady Hunt, does he have another year or not, Alex? I keep hearing mixed things.
Brady Hunt? I need to find out for sure. Like, it's because there's like an injury thing there this last time, so I need to find out.
Yeah, at wide receiver, we'll see what happens there. I mean, we all knew that when the Gamecocks signed six last year, there was probably going to be attrition the next year. But I haven't heard of anything where a wide receiver is just absolutely pissed off and wants to leave. They probably want to see who the offensive coordinator is and fresh start, all that kind of thing. But Donovan Murph did come out on his Instagram, Facebook story, whatever it is, where he's Gamecock for life. I mean, he's Alshon's cousin, so. If there's one guy you can keep from the wide receiver class from 2 years ago, I think it's probably going to be Donovan Murph and obviously Jaden Sellers and Brian Rowe. But, you know, that kind of wraps that up, Alex. I mean, is there anybody I missed? I mean, I think, honestly, this team has good talent, and now it just needs an offensive coordinator that can maximize it. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, I think so. You know, kind of wide receiver. I'm interested from a portal standpoint what they do there. Is that a spot that you're going to really prioritize to go find a number one type of receiver? Because, you know, maybe that could be a nice type of 1-2 punch. You find a number one wide receiver with whoever that may be and Nick Harbor, plus what you have and some of those other guys like Jaden Sellers who came on at the end of the year, Donovan Burr, some of those freshmen are going to be a year older, plus Mazie Bennett will be another year older, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, you got Jordan Gidron, you have Malik Clark, you have Lex Cyrus. Those guys didn't even play this year.
Yeah.
And all of those were higher ranked players than Jaden Sellers. And look, Jaden Sellers proved he belonged for all the people that thought he was just a throw-in with Lenoris. I do think it's a good point. Nick Harbor seems to be trending to come back to South Carolina at this point. Everything I've heard is he'll be back. And look, you know, when you have a Kendall Briles as an offensive coordinator and you can do some of that pre-snap stuff, Nick Harbor has a chance to have a really, really, really big year. I see Alex saying, what about Bennett? Do you think he's going to get lost in the depth chart? I don't know. I think that he obviously did this year, right? So you'll have to see. I have really high hopes for Mazie. I think he's a really good wide receiver, but I don't think that any wide receiver was going to be successful at South Carolina through the first 10 games of this season. And it's why I go back to talking about last year with Casey Concepcion, who went to Texas A&M, might be a first-round pick this year. I think you could have literally had a first-round pick for the first 10 games of the season, and it wasn't going to mean a game win or loss difference. I really just don't think so. So we'll have to see. You know, Lex Cyrus, he came down to South Carolina, Penn State. James Franklin's not at Penn State anymore. He's at Virginia Tech. Maybe, you know, he wants to go there. I don't know. Anything I said right now would be conjecture. These kids are still on campus as of right now. They're going to go home here pretty soon. And we all know that when you go home is when, you know, the stuff gets chirped into your ear. So,
I was just going to say, you're obviously having some internet issues here, but just going to say that there's still – A little less than a month to go to that transfer portal open. So who knows what's going to happen from there with every team in the country. That's, as you kind of mentioned, when players go home, that's when, you know, things can happen.
Yeah, and just a reminder, the transfer portal opens on January 2nd. The first day that players can take visits is January 1st. It closes on January 16th. There isn't a spring transfer portal this year, so you will know what your roster looks like come January 16th.
That's going to be a crazy 2-week period right there. I mean, that's going to be nonstop having recruits in. Like, that's going to be a crazy 2-week period.
Yeah, it is going to be. And we're excited for it. You know, Alex and I will be back here Wednesday of next week. And then after that, we're going to take the 2-week Christmas break. When we come back, hopefully next week, we're talking about some coaching hires, Alex, like signed, sealed, delivered, in pen, all of that. Yeah, Justin, I agree with Mazie. I kind of said that here a moment ago. But we'll be back here Wednesday, then come in the new year. It's going to be on Sunday nights. I think it's going to be a really perfect time, Sunday at 7 p.m., to recap the week. I mean, basketball, just want to remind everybody, I said this on Friday's show when I was on with Phil and JC, the Gamecocks are only 12 points, you know, from an undefeated record. So there are still high hopes. I know that last time I looked, Clemson was absolutely beating the tar out of BYU, a top 10 team. So Gamecocks have their work cut out for them when they go to Clemson, but SEC is going to be here before you know it. And Alex and I are going to be here to cover basketball, baseball, transfer portal, everything. So Alex, any parting shots before we call it a night?
BYU's up 5 right now with 26 seconds left. So
Clemson blew a 23-point lead. Wow. Last I saw was 43-20. So, woo! That's not fun for Clemson fans. I know everyone watching this show will celebrate it. So enjoy that as a Gamecocks. And Alex, any parting shots before we get out of here?
No, and just like we always say, appreciate everybody hopping on. It was another really good show. I think we, as you mentioned, looking forward to maybe talking about a full coaching staff here next week.
Alex, I do have one parting shot.
Okay.
So.
If it's about the betting records, I think we should just go ahead and end the show. I don't think we need to get it.
Nope. We need to get this out there. So going into last week, Alex had a 4-game lead on me. And, we picked 6 games, Alex. We picked 6 of them. And in those 6 games, I went 5-1, and you went 2-4. I'm only a game back. I seem to remember some D's Wings being involved in that bet from this past weekend.
I'm doing exactly what I did last year. I'm just giving it away at the end. I had every opportunity to put this away this weekend, and I ultimately failed.
Well, unfortunately, y'all, Clemson just tied this game 64-64 with 4 seconds left. So you'll have to stay tuned to that. Alex and I will give our bowl picks on the next show. So, look, guys, don't call it a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. Cream always rises to the top. We know how this works.
We'll see.
But, y'all, we appreciate you being here tonight. When you hang out with us, you give us the most valuable thing you have, your time. We always appreciate it. If we can ever help you in any way, please let us know. We're always here to answer questions. And you can find Alex Jones on thebigspur.com. I pop into the Big Spur occasionally. I read everything. So, shoot me a direct message if you want to ask me something in particular. But I'm happy to do this. We're happy to have Sunday night coming soon, which means we lead right into SEC Sunday night. And we will recap the weeks for you in January, but we'll be right back here Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Alex, have a good night. Everybody, have a great night. We'll talk to you soon. See ya.